because I want to make myself very clear when I say this part. Love triggers that hormone in you, right? You get a high from that feeling of love. Men get the high from the chase. Women get the high from being chased, right? So you want to get married on that? So basically your brain is high on that feeling. So you're signing a legally binding contract while you're high. What happens when you come down off that high? What happens if that person can't keep feeding you that high because they got something going on themselves? There's a lot of little intricacies that people don't talk about. This is the most beautiful thing about being on the other side of all of this. When you're in the storm, you can't see it. You can't even see people clearly. Many people have lost friends as they've gotten older. They've lost relationships as they've gotten older because they couldn't see the storm while they were in it. But now that they're out of it, they kind of look back like, oh man, I had to let that person go. Or they had to let me go. You know, because sometimes you're the toxic problem. You're the problem.
That's a fact.
But honestly, I think marriage is a beautiful thing. I just think that when you're talking about doing it, you have to really sit down with the logic of it, because marriage itself does need to be rooted in logic. It does need to be rooted in logic. Love is a bonus. When I married my ex-husband, we had a lot of logic. We had a lot of things in line. We did a lot of work to make sure that this is the thing that made sense. We wanted to homeschool kids. We didn't have any kids yet, but we knew we wanted to homeschool our kids. We knew we wanted to buy a house or two. We knew we wanted to build businesses. We knew we wanted to have all of these different things, right? And so we sat down and we did it. And we got a book by T.D. Jakes that's called Before You Do. We went through the entire book and we went line by line to make sure we had everything in line. And let me be clear, we were not going to church, but we still got that book.
But you know what? And ain't nothing wrong with that, because at the end of the day, you know what? You got some people that go to church every day and they the worst of the worst. You got some people where, you know what, they more spiritual, and that's fine. You know, everybody walk a different walk, you know?
Yeah, we definitely, we got the book. We went to premarital counseling. We did all of the work, right? And they asked questions. What's the one thing? She said, what are the things that you would leave for? What are the things that are your non-negotiables? And our non-negotiables were cheating and beating. Those were our non-negotiables. If you cheat on me and you put your hands on me, we are out.
Now, this cheating and beating. C&B. Cheating and beating.
Cheating and beating. And it turns out that we got divorced for none of those reasons. Mm-hmm. Those were not the reasons. Because the one thing that we didn't talk about was growth and toxicity and pain and depression and childhood trauma. We didn't talk about these. These are not things that come into premarital counseling. And so the whole, when people say the differences in the people are what caused the marriage to implode, I will challenge that to say the differences were there when you got together, but those flags that are now red for you were always red. You turned them green at your convenience.
Wow, that is heavy. That is hard. Yeah,
I hate to be the person to say it, because we all been there, right? We got in a relationship with someone.
Yeah.
And you saw all the red flags were there.
You see what you want to see, you know. Yes. blind love, you know. You, and like you said, love is a drug. You know, you get those feelings, everything feels so good, the butterflies and all of that, but it's a drug, and every drug comes off of that high eventually. And what are you left with? Like you said, you know, like you just left, you know, you got to go into rehab at some point when the drug ain't there no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the reality of it. So, yeah.
I just think that we've been taught the wrong way, because we haven't seen enough things work in the right way. We have a lot of information on how to do it wrong. We just don't have enough information on how to do it right and what that looks like, right? And who's to say what's right? This is why everybody needs to sit down with their potential person and decide what's going to work for them. I do have a side question, though.
What's the side question?
I'm thinking about the fact that I don't have headphones in. Is this going to create an echo for you?
Oh, no. It sounds good.
Okay, because I can hear the computer is probably coming through the microphone, too. I just didn't want to create an echo. I didn't want people to be like, oh, my God, we can't hear y'all.
No, it's good. It's good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you good, Tara. But, you know, I was going to say something, what you said, too, where you said love is not enough. I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, until it's too late, which is that's a fact. You know, you get on that high, you know, and everything's great in the beginning. It's like, you know, I know Chris Rock said, you know, people, they introduce you to their representative, right? That's mm-hmm. like who they want you to see, right? You see all the bells and whistles, but then as time progresses, you start to see other sides. You know, you see the, you know, the dark side. Everything is not so fun and bubbly and happy. So it's like, you know, when you're left with that at the end of the day, when you strip it down and you take love away, what do you have? And I think that's what everybody has to ask themselves. Like, you know, that person you're in that relationship with, you know, can you have a conversation with them? You know, are they intelligent? You know, are they fun? Are they insightful? Are they deep? You know, or are they on the other side of that? It's like once, you know, you take the sex away, once you take the love away, What are you left with? Is this person dark? You know, are they always negative? Are they always pessimistic? Are they always mm-hmm. have nothing positive going on? You got to ask yourself those questions because that's reality. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, that's real talk.
Let me backtrack on one thing that I said, and that's the use of the word love in and of itself. I want to replace that word just a smidge with infatuation and chemistry. Mm. Because as a lover of love, I feel like I'm slightly disrespecting love. And let me not do that. Mm-hmm. Because love is powerful enough to save us all. Love is powerful enough to change everything that we have going on. Infatuation is not. Mm. Chemistry is not.
Tara, I have to cut you off. So let me ask you a question. So, because mm-hmm. I know people are probably thinking this. So how can someone tell the difference between if they're in love or they're infatuated? Like, because when you're in it, how would they know?
So pay attention to what it is that's making you feel a particular way and what you're doing to make them feel a particular way. Sometimes I hear people say, I love him or her so much. I'm a great person to them. I'm a great girlfriend. I'm a great boyfriend. I'm a great husband or wife or even great friend because I love them. But kind of think about, are you doing this thing to get a thing? Is it a transaction? If it is a transaction, that's likely more infatuation. That's likely more the chemistry. You're feeding off of what is going to give you a thing. Love says, I'm going to give of myself without compromising my being, but giving of myself without the expectation of receiving. But you're giving of yourself on a high enough frequency that those people around you are vibrating in a way that they're going to feed back into you. That's more of the love. Was I moving with desperate feminine energy or desperate masculine energy? Was I moving with that? Was I in the conquest? Was I in the chase? Was I just desiring to be chased? Did I just want attention? Because attention, people are in relationships from attention seeking. And calling that love. And then when the person on the other end is no longer giving them the attention that they desired before, now they're mad. You don't love me anymore. That's not what it is. Mm-hmm. You're not getting attention in that way. Mm-hmm. And so now we have so many outlets to find attention. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of attention seeking in the world. This is what happens on social media. When people are using all of these things just to get people, this is why toxicity moves faster than love. Faster than positivity. Mm-hmm. Did I answer your question?
No, you absolutely did. You did. Yeah, and it's true because you know what? Like, I feel like social media is a gift and a curse, right? Because it feeds everyone's individual interests, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like kind of having like a cheerleader, you know, to condone all of your views, you know, whether they're right or wrong. You can find a meme, you can find a blog, you can find a podcast that's going to condone and support your belief system, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. so true. Like, yeah, that's the reality of it, you know. I think you know, to shift gears real quick, because I want to ask you this question. This was another question that came up. Mm-hmm. And by the way, phenomenal podcast, phenomenal work that you do, because it's just amazing. Like, your views are very insightful. And I personally, I love them because I feel as if, well, I know that your content doesn't take one side. Like, you know, we kind of touched on this off camera. It's like a lot of this stuff on social media is so toxic. You know, it pits men against women, men against women. I saw one dude, I'm not going to say no names, man, because I don't even know his name, but all this guy ever does, every video is he is placating towards the damaged, broken women demographic that hate men. And all he does, every post is, oh, you know, you don't, the men don't do this, the men don't do that. It's so toxic, you know. So I say all that to say is that I respect your views, because you don't bash men, you don't bash women, you just say it as it is and see how we can collectively make progress together. And that's what this is about, you know. So, you know, that's the state of the culture right now. But the question, digress to what the listener got a little off track there, but here we go.
You're good.
So the listener wanted to know, because you did an episode about this where you said that we were duped. And you said that we were duped into believing that there is a such thing as casual sex, where, you know, this hookup culture, people can hook up, they can have sex and no strings attached, and that there aren't any ramifications for that. So I wanted you to touch on that, to kind of just state your views on that and what you thought.
So, you know, with our culture, it breeds a lot of, I grew up with the Little Kims and the Foxy Browns, and now there are so many more. And I'm a fan of take back, be whoever you are, right? But there's not enough balance that the kids are able to access and see, because the toxicity moves a little bit faster. When we were younger, yeah, I had Little Kim and Foxy Brown, but I also had Lauryn Hill. We still had Queen Latifah. We still had MC Light. We still had some positive movement in there, right? So you could balance it all out. When it comes to sexuality, telling young people, I'll speak about the men first. Telling a young guy, young boy, that, oh, you just got to get as many girls as you can. He could be 10. He could be 10. So now you're teaching him to chase women and aim to sleep with them before he's even fully gone through puberty. You're teaching him to use his genitalia as a weapon. And so he moves along in the world and he's going to get as many as he can. And this girl might be 15. By the time he's 12, she might be 18. By the time he's 13, she might be 25. So this young man is being molested now. He's being molested now. And he's emotionally disconnected from his genitalia because no one's taught that. So there's no mind attached to his action, because he's only wielding his penis as a weapon. So as he gets older, and say he finds a woman that he's in love with, and he can't quite keep an erection. He's in love with her, but it's seeming like he can't keep an erection at times, or he feels a little bit disconnected from her. He feels disconnected from her because he has a plethora of feminine energy on him. He has all of these wounds, all of these portals he entered for no particular reason than to catch numbers, because someone told him he should have more numbers. But not even teaching him about the severity of all of this. He's learning how to enter a vagina before he's learning how to even read a good book. Before he's learning how to meditate. Before he's learning how to make big decisions, financial decisions, how to move in the world. He's learning about how to move with a woman. And a lot of these young men have probably seen their mom being disrespected, or their dad disrespecting them, or their dad moving through with a bunch of women, or their big brother moving with a bunch of women. So they're thinking that that's okay. But all of these young women that they're engaging with are also likely, on the other side, we have a lot of young women that have engaged in a lot of sex with a lot of different people. And they're called a hoe, a slut, or she's fast. But people don't consider that on both ends. The boy and the girl could have been molested as children. It's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If you teach a child between 0 and 5 that they're nothing but that, what do you think is going to happen when they get older? How are they supposed to connect that? Mm-hmm. Now they're going to use what they have to get what they want, literally, because it's been working. So now you've taught these kids to disengage from their minds and from their hearts and from their spirit and from their soul, and to only use their body to do this thing. So they're completely disconnected from who they are. So now they get older and they're running around, and the girl might be 12, 13, 14, 15 when she's had her first, second, third, fourth baby. So now she's got a slew of children on top of that. And he doesn't feel responsible for these kids because, well, they were just messing around. She knew what was up.
That's a fact.
So now he's left her to her own devices, and he doesn't feel responsible for these kids. And now she's supposed to be responsible for them while trying to figure out who she is, because she still has a child mind. Her brain is not anywhere near being fully developed, and neither was his. Mm-hmm. So he's out in the world, and now he's got six babies with five women. He's out in the world, but he can't figure out. And let's say it was something even less dramatic. Let's say he didn't have any kids, but had 30 women. 30 women by the time he's 16, 17 years old, right? But by the time he's 21, he might have been in and out of jail or in and out of prison. Let's say he can't find a job, living at home or living off of women back and forth. And he's in the deepest of dark places. He can't figure out why. And now she's in the deepest of dark places and she can't figure out why. Because you attached all of these broken souls to you the whole time. You think somebody giving up their body to you at 12, 13, 14 understands themselves? You think they have a love for themselves? So now you're over here and you don't have a love and respect for yourself over here. And now you got somebody else that doesn't have love and respect for themselves. And now y'all are together. When you don't know, you don't feel, because you're not going to connect the two. But my people perish from lack of what?
Lack of knowledge. Yeah.
This is what's been going on with us, right? You dupe us. You dupe us because you understand the power of our minds and our hearts. When we have head and heart coherency, we are in full alignment. When we're in full alignment, that's our most dangerous weapon. Not our fists, not our penises, not our vaginas, not none of that, none of that stuff. That's a distraction. And this is really important, because all that divisiveness that's happening between the two of us is all the toxic bonds and the toxic contracts that we signed, the soul contracts that we signed when we made these decisions. That's where the tax comes from. That's why I say that there's no such thing as casual sex and all this. There's responsibility and accountability for all of the things that we do on both sides. So we can't sit here and keep blaming everybody for everything. If a man decided that he's sleeping with a bunch of women, he's not using the condom, and she gets pregnant, now he's upset that she's deciding to have this baby. And what if she has this baby and then drops the baby off at his house? Now he's mad. But you dropped it off in her. So now nobody wants this little being that's a human life that didn't ask to be here. So now the human life gets here. Now you're mad at the human life because they're here. Well, all of these little kids are growing up with parents that don't like them or resent them because they had to give up their life to take care of theirs. But you made that decision. So there's no such thing as casual, because as we get older and we do start to learn a little bit more, we can't figure out where the chaos is coming from. We can't figure out where the depression is coming from. We can't figure out where the anxiety is coming from, why we can't connect with our partner, why we can't connect with our kids. It's because we got so many souls on us. You got a lot of spirits tied to you. Stop letting people feed you that this stuff does not come with a tax. Everything has a tax. Our music, our conversations, our people, everything is an energetic vibration. Everything.
Wow. That's powerful. That's powerful. And I think, you know, a lot of people, like, you know, because they're floating around, they just feel like, you know, culturally, because that's the culture we're in, the hookup culture, you know, like you said, just to breed this certain type of toxicity to keep you blind to other things. You know, I feel like the more people they feel they see in the natural realm, the more blinded they are in the spiritual realm. You know, like they just kind of just feel they know it all. But there's more ramifications. There's a lot of consequences for action. So that's a major key. That's a major gem. Definitely a major gem. I want to shift gears to talk about something that's obviously just went viral on social media. You know, the things that happened with Montgomery, all this stuff going on. Could you just touch on that briefly, like your views on that, how you feel? You know, I know, you know, us as Black people, we always make a joke out of everything. So now we got the white chairs, you know, the memes and all this stuff. You know what I mean? Sometimes they say, you know, you laugh to keep from crying, you know, because, you know, we just get so tired of this. But what's your thoughts on that? Like, how you feel about it?
Oh, man, I spoke on this a little bit last week. For me, I was watching it, and man, it's gonna make me a little bit emotional, because in watching this video, right, I got the video without any words above it, so I don't really know what I'm about to watch. So as I'm watching it, I'm in fear. I feel my anxiety rising. And then as the first person hits him, my anxiety gets higher. Then the second person comes in, my anxiety gets higher. And then when all of these men get in there, my anxiety's through the roof, and I felt like I was having a little bit of a heart attack, because I thought, again, I'm about to watch another black man murdered on the internet. This, for me, this was the biggest deal about all of this. And then what happened was I watched that young man swim, and then I watched one black guy, and then two black guys, and then more, and then I'm getting hyped, right? I'm like, yeah! Yes! That it was a range of emotions. Mm-hmm. It's a range of emotions as a black woman that has a black father, that has black brothers, that has the father of my kids. My ex-husband is black. My family are black. There are so many of us. This meant something different to us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're making a lot of jokes about it. We got the white chairs. We got the white chair earrings, the t-shirts, the hats. And white people probably are going to feel a way about that white chair the same way we feel about that red hat.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So for the first time, there was a chance to do something that wasn't standing by and just praying. There was a chance that it wasn't turn the other cheek. Stop asking us to turn the other cheek when you keep slapping the shit out of us. Excuse my language.
It's a real talk. Yeah.
So in that moment, I felt damn proud. I feel proud of us on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's said enough. Mm. I feel proud of us on a regular basis, because no matter what the media is showing you what they want to feed you, because they want us to be dismantled. They want us to be unhinged. They want us to not be together in the head and heart once again. Mm-hmm. But let me be clear when I say our people are not that. Our people really are the infrastructure. How do you think the most educated demographic in this country is black women? How we get there? Mm-hmm. Leading in entrepreneurship, black women, how we get there? Multi-millionaire, multi-billionaires, black men, black women. Come on now. How do we get there? If we're just sitting by the wayside and just pissing our lives away and just sleeping with a bunch of women and a bunch of men and drinking and getting high and killing each other, if that's all we're doing, how did we get here? Stop believing what you see. Stop believing what you see. Because what we're seeing, we have control over. We have the power to shift the media that we watch and listen to. We do. Watching this gave me such a... When I walked out of the door the next day, I think I saw it on Monday or Tuesday. I walked out of the door. White people were different. What? They were holding doors. They were good morning.
Don't hit me with a white chair.
and the black people were different with each other. Black people were different with each other, because a lot of us don't talk to each other or don't like each other for reasons we don't even know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But that gave us, man, in that moment, we were a one.
Yeah.
We were one. We remembered who we are. Mm-hmm. We remembered the revolts. We remember that we are a revolution. We remembered that. Mm-hmm. That for me was a big deal. We're not even asking for anybody to do us any favors. We're asking for people to get the hell out of our way so we can do what we do.
That's a fact. That's a fact. You know, yeah, when I saw it too, I felt the same way. Like, I felt the sense of unity, you know, just to see people come together, you know, and not to allow one of our own to be physically harmed, because psychologically that takes a toll on people when you constantly turn on the news and you see people that look like you, that could be your brother, could be your son, could be your uncle getting murdered, you know, in broad daylight. So, you know, it was definitely a dope moment to actually see, you know, to see our people united. And I was talking to a buddy of mine about this too, like in terms of just culture, like, you know, being African-American and what that means within this society to live here in the United States of America, when in terms of like, we've been displaced, you know, so taken as slaves and brought over here, have slave names. So a lot of us don't even know culturally where we come. Like, we know we come from Africa, but what tribe? You know, what was your tribe's name? Like, we don't even have those things. You know, when you look at other cultures, you know, the food that they eat, what type of food do we have except for soul food, you know, that was derived out of slavery, right? Like, culturally, we're so disconnected, you know? So I say all that to say that, you know, when we see something like that in Montgomery and stuff, just to see us united, you know, that was something special, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, all right, so I got one last question for you. This was fire. So we got a little game that we play with our guests on the show. It's called The Dozens, right? Okay. So with this game, we just asked to kind of figure out, like, what would you prefer between two things, right? So we give you two choices, all right? And then you tell me which one you like.
Okay.
All right? Okay. All right, so the first is Martin Luther King or Malcolm X?
So I'm going to pick Malcolm X, although let's be clear, Dr. King was not always nonviolence, but I'm going to choose Uncle Malcolm today.
Okay.
Because Uncle Malcolm talked about the fact that it's not about changing them. It is about changing us.
Mm.
And I'm a person that believes in, we got to change us. I don't care what they do.
That's,
we start changing our mind and our hearts, we change the game. We're the infrastructure.
That's a fact. That's a fact. That's a fact. All right. Yeah, it was my choice too. All right. Erykah Badu or Jill Scott?
Why you gotta do me like this? Okay. God, this is so hard. Let me go with, why are you doing this to me? I feel like saying Jill Badu.
Jill Badu.
All right. I'm going to go with Jilly from Philly.
Okay,
I'm going to go with Jilly from Philly. And I would say I'm going with Jill because of where I am in my life. Jill is, she's also been married and divorced and has a child, and she's coming into herself, and we're watching her, and while coming into herself, she's still feeding us very well. She's still making sure she moves and she's rooted in love, and I've never heard her speak on disempowering our men or our women, even in her own pain. I'm gonna pick Sister Jill today solely because I'm in a very similar space.
Got you.
All right. You didn't like that.
Yeah, yo, that was a hard one. Cause I love them both, man. They both are fire. You know what I'm saying? That was a hard one. Okay. All right. We got three more for you. All right. This one is prayer or fasting?
I'm a meditation person. And I know some people say that meditation and prayer are very similar, but I feel like prayer has a little more to do with begging or asking, where meditation is rooted in who you are and coming into I more. Fasting wise, I only fast when my mind, my body, and my heart tell me to. I don't fast on somebody else's time clock.
Gotcha.
I almost want to say neither.
Right. Meditation. So that's
it. Yeah, meditation is definitely.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. Two more. Tupac or Biggie?
Tupac. And not because I don't love Biggie. I love Biggie. But man, if you know me, I have a Tupac Tuesday, everything. I cried like a baby when he wasn't here anymore. Because the thing about Tupac is that I don't see Tupac as the rapper. I see Tupac as the man, as the being, as the movement. He's a movement. He was a ballet dancer. He was an actor. He was a poet. There's so many more layers to Tupac. And he believed he would be pissed about where we are right now. I'm going to be clear about that. He would be pissed. He was talking about us having to change us as well. The same reason that I would choose Uncle Malcolm is the same reason that I would choose Tupac. Because it's about changing our minds, unchaining our minds. They understand our power. We just don't.
That's a fact. You know, and the crazy thing is, like, I grew up in Queens, New York. So coming from New York, everybody was like, yo, how you like Tupac? How you a Tupac fan? But, you know, to your point, everything you said, yeah, Tupac was a movement. You know, like, he just had a lot of views that were very, very strong. You know, and I like the fact that he was a real person. Like, people often criticized him for saying, oh, yo, how could he say dear mama then hit him up? I'm like, listen, aren't you a real person? Don't you have good days? Don't you have bad days? Look, yeah. I got some times I want to bump Fred Hammond and Kirk Franklin, and I want to bump G-Unit. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We real people. So, that, you know, let's keep it real. Like, you know, we have these dualities. But overall, you know, he was a powerful movement. You know, he just had, like, such a powerful voice, man. So, yeah, the brother was dynamic. You know?
Yeah, I definitely love Tupac. I seem to love Geminis because honestly, the minds of Tupac, Kendrick, and Kanye, people don't have to like everything they speak about, but their duality shows in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
And their minds are incredible.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, all right, so last one, last question for you.
Uh-oh.
Oprah Winfrey, Oprah Winfrey or Michelle Obama?
Ah, Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama.
I love what Oprah has done for herself and for those around. Michelle Obama is a movement. Michelle Obama is a movement. She is peace. She is womanhood. She is softness. She is Black culture. She is Black mother. When you hear her speak, when she shows up, you feel like she is mothering you. There is something that's so soulful and so dynamic and so beautiful. She is not just the best first lady we've had. She's really probably the best lady most people have never met. She's just dope. She's dope in so many ways, from a career perspective, from how she moves in the world, from how she speaks, how chill she is, and how honest she is. She's just dope.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fact. That's a fact. You know, and she took so many things with grace because, you know, a lot of times, like, that's, I think that's the hardest part, too, is, like, not giving people that power to trigger you, you know, and especially when you're in certain positions. Like, you know, I remember seeing the stuff on social media with people just being very disrespectful. And I was like, man, I just don't got the patience. I'll be popping. I'll be like, yo, who are you talking to? Like,
me too. I lose myself.
It can't go down like that, you know. But hey, man, they God don't put more on you than you can bear, right? So, you know, certain people, they have those positions because they're able to take those things in stride, take it with grace, you know, and they move intelligently, not emotionally, you know.
Yeah, her poise is different.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So this was fire. This was amazing. You know, we appreciate all the gems that you dropped.
Thank you.
You know, for the people that want to connect with you, like, how can they connect with you on social media? Like, how can they, you know, purchase books? Like, what how can they reach you?
Oh, okay. So the website is my name, Tara, Tarah, Davidson, Davidson.com. On the website, all the books are there. The links to the books are there. My IG is also the same, Tarah_Davidson. There's a link tree on there that has the books, that have the podcast information. Everything is in there. There's a blog called Between Lovers that's tied to an event that I just co-curated with one of my dear friends. His name is Jamin Johnson. You guys will see that they're doing a film out of it. You'll see that very soon. But we did the event, I guess it's been about 3 weeks now, but that's there. What else am I missing? The last book that I did was Healing Discovery, A Soulful Guide to Healing When Therapy is Out of Reach. If you get this book on Amazon, please, please, if you have to submit this review over and over again, please do. I don't know why Amazon is hijacking my reviews right now.
What, they're not letting the reviews go through?
No! So people are having to go in there multiple times to get it in there, and then it's not there again. So, if you do pick it up, please go ahead and leave a review. It's driving me up a wall. But there's a meditation journal. There's a 369 journal. There are, there's an adult coloring book, a children's coloring book, and then the last book that we just talked about. So there's a plethora of books up there. And there's a 60-day guide on there. That's a journal. It's a prompted journal. Because some people just have a difficult time writing in a journal, and this one is prompted, so you don't have to worry about thinking too much about, what am I going to write? What am I going to do? I think that's everything. My IG.
Did you say the podcast too? Like, how can they listen?
Oh, yes. So the podcast, I am a co-host on Bourbon and Boys Shorts. Those are my guys. So we do what's called Therapy Thursdays. We try to get it done on the first Thursdays, but sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. But Therapy Thursdays, Bourbon and Boys Shorts. Please follow the guys. Please watch the live recording. The live recording is so dope. It's so funny. You get to actually see us interact and everything. But it does get uploaded to all the platforms. I think I want to say, oh, there's also, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the platform called Swell, but on Swell, I also have a podcast on there that is also called Between Lovers. So I think that's good.
That is dope. That is dope. Well, everybody definitely going to tap in because this was like fire content, fire episode. And, you know, just to get like a different perspective on things, which was amazing. You know, we really appreciate it. You know, appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. Thank you for the invite. I definitely, it's an honor always to speak with people and to kind of learn new people and just to get new energy and to share the love. Because that's what we're talking about. We're sharing love. We're trying to be in love, in healthy relationships, be together, be one, and support one another more.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, you know, we appreciate you, Tara. And, you know, shout out to all the listeners as always. Until, you know, till next week, as always, stay connected. Much love.